Thank you, Jesus. Aren't you thankful for the cross? What Christ has done for us there. You may be seated today. What a privilege it is to be able to share with you from the Word of God. We're going to look this morning at our task, or my task, your task, and God's purpose. People who live for an extraordinary purpose have a way of inspiring you. Have you had anybody inspire you? I trust that you have. It may have been a pastor, or it may have been your father. It may have been another Royal Ranger leader. The Baron of Eberly, just before he dies from a wound he received while saving his son's life, gave this charge to him near Jerusalem in the days of the Crusaders. And Doug Marsh talked about this a little bit Thursday morning. This is what he told his son. Be without fear in the face of your enemy. Be brave and upright because God loves you. Speak the truth. Always, even if it leads to your death. Safeguard the helpless and do no wrong. That is your oath. He then lovingly, though unexpectedly, slaps his son. He says, and that is so you remember it. His son goes on to become a great leader. We live life best when we live it for the Lord. We live life best when we live it for the Lord. And when we truly live it for the Lord, we live it then for other people. However, that just does not happen. We must be intentional in living our lives for the Lord. If we're going to accomplish the tasks that God has given us, that He has placed before us, there's one thing that is mandatory in our lives, and that is we have to die to self. Self must die. Deny self. Pick up your cross and follow Jesus every day. That's what Jesus said. Reminds me of a missionary who was going to the Fiji Islands way back when they were still cannibals there. And he traveled by boat, and as they were traveling, he got to know the captain very well, long voyage, and they became friends. When they finally arrived to the islands, this captain told this missionary, he said, you know, I can't let you get off. He said, why? He said, they're cannibals, and they're going to kill you. You will die. He said, I can't let you get off this boat. The missionary looked at this captain, and he said, you know what? I died a long time ago. Have you died yet? We must die so that Christ lives. Great men live a special task that demands a great sacrifice. And it is in that sacrifice that they find their greatest joy because they have lived Jesus first and then others. Don't ever be afraid of the word sacrifice. Some people think their tithe is a sacrifice. That's not a sacrifice. Don't be afraid of the word sacrifice. For in sacrifice, you truly find life. It's time for us to sacrifice. So let's get into this last part, this portion of this devotional series that deals with our task and God's purpose. So what is my task? Obvious question, right? Romans 8:28. I love this scripture verse, and you know it as well. For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. We have a promise in that verse, and we quote that promise often, don't we? Especially when somebody else is in trouble. Don't worry about it. We know that all things work together for good. Have you ever told somebody that? All things work together for good. But that promise is not for everyone. It's only for those who love God. It's only for those who are called according to His purpose. So who are those who love God? And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. They are known because they are living their lives as if they have a calling on their lives. And this calling has been placed in front of them from eternity. I want you to think about that this morning. You have a calling upon your life. Every boy you minister to has a calling upon their life. And that calling is especially made to fit you. It's not made to fit somebody else. It's to fit you. This calling is not focused on one event or one teaching, but rather it's focused upon the whole, the entire spectrum of life. God sees your life from beginning to end. Isn't it great that He's in charge of it if you let Him? You know, the steps of the righteous are ordered by God. You don't have to worry about the next step. Your life is not one event. Royal Rangers is not one event. It's at least 50 years, right? And it's going to continue should the Lord tarry until He comes back ministering to boys. It's a complete picture that only God sees. And so don't get shook up when you have a bad day or a bad week or a bad month or even a bad year. You ever have a bad year? I told my congregation this a couple of Sundays ago, and boy, that week after that was terrible. God is still in control, and He still has the power to work it out for His eternal good and your eternal good. So don't interrupt what God is doing. Actually, get involved in what God is doing. Get involved in what He's doing. So this calling understands that the parts fit into the whole picture and within the right alignment. However, not everyone selects this calling. Have you seen some Royal Ranger leaders who, man, they were so talented and gifted? You thought, man, this guy is going to amount to something. And they amount to nothing. They haven't selected the calling. The ones who select it, the one who constructs their lives around it, are the ones who love God and it results in salvation. Do you love the Lord this morning? Do you love the Lord this morning? Do you love Him in the good times? Do you love Him in the bad times? You better love Him in the bad times. Love the Lord. Think about this truth. From eternity, all of us have a calling made just for us. It fits us, and we fit it. Because God established it before you were even conceived. God established it. And you were made to fit it. Exactly. There is absolutely no better place to be than right smack dab in the center of God's will and God's plan for your life. No better place. And finding that plan and finding that task is not always obvious because we're not robots. You have a task fit exactly for you. You, in other words, are an original. You are unique. God designed your task. God created you to fit it perfectly. How do I discover that? I'm glad you asked. Ask the Lord. We need to learn how to pray. We need to learn how to communicate with God once again. When I was growing up in Pentecost, man, the altars were full. And the whole saying was, get a hold of the horns of the altar and don't let go. Today, for us, it's drive-through prayer. Lord, this is what I need, and I need it now. You work on that, I got other things to do. We need to learn how to spend time in God's presence. It's what we need. If we're going to reach boys, we have to spend time in God's presence. Ask God. He's the one who took great care in custom making you. I like that. He longs to relate to you in a very personal way. And above all, God wants your heart. And He longs for you to know His heart. And when we know and understand His heart, we'll accomplish the task that is before us. The Lord knows your task. We need to learn to talk to Him on a personal level. God is righteous. What does that mean? As righteousness applies to God, it refers to God's faithfulness to His word, to His covenant, to His promises. And you and I need to trust Him and His actions on our behalf. And because God is faithful to His covenant and He's faithful to His promise, God is right or he is righteous. God has never acted out, here's the point, God has never acted out wrong on your behalf or on anybody's behalf. He can't. It's impossible for him to do that. He has always acted the right thing and in the right way. Always. That's righteousness. And God's intentions towards you have always been and forever will be good. Our God is good. And all good things come from him. You're going to go through battles. You're going to go through trials. You're going to go through struggles. But you know you're going to go through victories as well. You can't have a victory without a battle. I'd love to have the testimony of the three Hebrew children, wouldn't you? Gone through the fiery furnace. But I would hate to have been one of them prior to that. Going through it is one thing. Saying, yeah, being victorious afterwards is another. You go through battles, but that strengthens your character. It builds your faith. You see, it's faith unto faith unto faith. Get that. Every situation in life is an opportunity to have faith in God, to believe God. Each time that happens, you and I are to stay in the calling that God has placed us instead of moving out of it. How often when things get rough, people flee. They get up out of their calling. They say, I'm going to go do something else. You can't run from God. Stay where God has placed you and let that become another element of your faith that is validated as real. It happened with Abraham throughout his life. In every situation in your life, those things that we bump into, as James tells us in the first chapter of James, we see God's right action toward us and in our behalf. And we see it not just in our own lives. You can see it through the entire Word of God and lives of God's people. So how do I discover this task? Ask God. Secondly, ask yourself, what makes you come alive? What's inside of you? What do you really enjoy doing? There's a whole list that we could go into, but look at what you enjoy doing and know that those interests are not random interests. God has put them there within you. God created you that way. And these are clues to the task that God has called you to do. And they're not sufficient in determining your task, but they lead you in the right direction. And while you are doing various wholesome things that inspire you, always be in that right relationship with God to where you can hear his voice. The Lord will speak to you in every situation of your life. We just have to be listening and hearing. The Lord longs to connect with you. So always be in a position to hear him. I think that's what Paul meant when he said, pray without ceasing. Always be in position to hear God. And he will relate to you through your interests. He'll use those interests to lead you on adventures and make you come alive and in him. You see, the world needs people who are alive in Christ. Boys need leaders who are alive in Christ. Your task will not be boring. It will be exciting. The next thing is, what am I good at? What are my strengths? David in Psalm 139:14 said, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. All your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Do you know that full well? All God's works are wonderful. Everything about you, God has pieced together, and therefore you are special. Are you convinced that God loves you? I'm convinced of that. The nature of the one who makes himself known is also love. And that's eternal love. John said, to such a degree did God so love the world that he gave his only begotten Son. For who? For you. Oh, I'm thankful for that. This love of God is not the love for family or spouse. It isn't a friendship kind of love either. You can read it in 1 Corinthians 13. God's love is unconditional. It's an eternal decision. It can't be revoked. And it's out of this love that God does what he does for you. Out of his eternal love. God moves out to create all things, especially humanity. Because we are created in his image and in his likeness. We need to get that point this morning. God made an eternal decision to create you. To create you for a special task, a specific task. Why? Because he loves you. He didn't create you because he needed company. He didn't create you because he needed the next good-looking person. He didn't create you just because he needed to do something. He created you with a task in mind. And he has no intention on keeping that task a secret. He wants to tell you what it is. And as you discover the qualities that God has built into you, you will gain further clues about your task. You have strengths. You have personality traits. You have spiritual gifts that are uniquely you. Not someone else, but uniquely you. Discover those strengths and don't worry about your limitations. Moses tried that old excuse of being limited, didn't he? Unable to fulfill the call. God calls him at the burning bush, and Moses said, "Who am I to do that?" And God gave him a great promise, "I will be with you." What more do we need? God is with us. Well, Moses said, "They're not going to believe me. Remember, I'm a murderer. They won't believe me." God said, "Take that rod," and he showed him quite a bit with that rod. He said, okay. "Wait a minute, God. I don't talk that well. I'm slow in speech and word, and man, I'm going to stammer all over the place. How can I do this?" God said, "I'll give you Aaron." I'm going to tell you something. You never win an argument with God. You're never going to win. So here's the lesson. Don't even start it. You just look more foolish the further it goes. Say, "Okay, God, here I am." It reminds me of Isaiah. "Here I am. Send me." Focus on your strengths. Moses had strengths and Moses had weaknesses. And God said, "Focus on your strengths. I'll take care of your weaknesses." Other people in your life can assist you in acknowledging your strengths or weaknesses. Don't be afraid to ask somebody, but be ready for a straight answer. If you ask somebody if you can sing, and they say, there's your answer. Don't join the choir and don't ask to sing a special. Make life easy on your pastor. If you can't sing, you can't sing. Get over it. All right. Let somebody else do it. We have a tremendous piano player in our church, and I wish I could play the piano like she does. But I can't. And one of these days, I'm going to get over it. How often have you looked at someone else and wished that you were like them, that I wish I had their talents and their giftings? You don't. But you have special giftings that God has given you. They don't have your giftings. You don't have their giftings. Be satisfied and thankful that God has made you, you. I remember when I first got involved in Rangers as a leader, Jim Barger was my LTC instructor. He's also my FCF president, so went through back in the camping. FCF was a Frontiersman Camping Fraternity. Went through that. Then I went through NTC, and he was my senior guide. Everywhere I went, there was Jim. It was a blessing. He may not realize at the time, but it's a blessing. It was a blessing, but I saw him speak so many times, and when I got asked to speak, that's how I got to do it. So I tried to do it Jim's way. I thought, man, did I flop. That's not what God called me to do. Jim, nobody tells a story like Jim does. I can't be him, or I can't be any of you. But I can be who God made me. And you can be who God made you. And that's the key to it. You are an original. And be the best version of that you can be. Find your place in the body of Christ. God has put his body together to fulfill his purpose, and every part is vital. Play that part in your district, in your organizational leadership that God has placed you, and do it to the best of your ability. Amen. And do it without complaining about it. Amen. Aaron and Miriam complained to Moses about it, and their complaining got them absolutely nowhere. And if you're going to correctly fulfill your calling, you're not going to have time to complain about it. Amen. Step 3, who do I talk to? I believe that the Lord would love to give us direction if we would only ask. James 1, 2 through 5 says, "Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And if any of you lack wisdom, Let him ask of God who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to you. God said that. I believe it. Ask him for wisdom. It's very clear. What an awesome promise. We need to learn to stand on it. You also get good counsel from, godly counsel from your pastor, family, peers, and others. But know that the Lord is ready to listen. We have to be ready to wait. What do I do right now? Be fruitful where you are planted. Where you are at, bear fruit. We are to be involved in the work of the kingdom, sharpening our skills, sharpening our strengths and our talents. The talents and the passions that God has given you are his gifts to you. Our gift back to the Lord is what we do with them. What are you doing with it? So as you journey through life, there's an important truth that we must always keep in mind. God creates and God acts on your behalf. Satan does not create. He only reacts to what God is doing in your life. Oftentimes people get, and Jim mentioned it really well yesterday morning, they equate Satan with God, evil and good. There is no comparison. Satan does not have the characteristics of God. He doesn't even know what God is doing. He reacts to what God is doing. And too often we pay attention to the reaction of Satan instead of continuing our reliance upon the Lord. Satan will always discourage you. He will always lie to you. He will always bring you down to keep you aimless, to keep you frustrated, to keep you confused. Never give up on what God has called you to do, and you can get that direction from the Lord. He has a special task for you. You will grow closer to the Lord in fulfilling it. So don't minimize the journey. There are others that are depending upon you. Many people depending upon you. That's our task. God's purpose. God's purpose is real quick. Why are you saved? What is it all about? John tells us in 3:17, God sent his Son not to condemn but to save. Luke says, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. We are saved to evangelize the lost. Jesus came to set things straight. But more than that, as Paul said in Galatians, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. We are God's mission. We are God's purpose. He came to set you free so you could really live in freedom. Jesus came to earth as God had promised Adam and Eve to be the seed of the woman. He came to be the ransom for our sin, as the worship songs this morning said, paying our sin debt on Calvary. But that's not the end of it. Because in the wisdom of God, the ultimate purpose of Jesus was not death, although his death is a perfect sacrifice for sin, fulfilled the righteous requirement that we needed of the law. The ultimate purpose was Jesus returning to his glorified state, from which he could receive and send the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, to us. It was the resurrection of Jesus out of the dead that was a shock to the people. His death wasn't a surprise. They planned that. The resurrection was a surprise. And because Jesus lives, we too shall live. Amen. But not just live, but live more abundantly. And not just more abundantly, but to live fully empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. And we need to be fully empowered. Why be filled with the Spirit? Because we have a task to fulfill his purpose. And you and I must be anointed by the Holy Spirit now more than ever. This is a day for the Spirit. This is not the day to neglect the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, regulating him to a back room somewhere. Amen. It's not today to regulate the Holy Spirit to a lower position in our lives. As Dr. Wood says, rather today is a day in which a church must give the Holy Spirit room. We need to give the Holy Spirit room. Jesus returned from the wilderness in the power of the Spirit, ready for ministry. I love it. Luke chapter 4. You aren't ready for ministry until you've been empowered by the Holy Spirit. You haven't been. And if you were empowered by the Holy Spirit 10 years ago, And that was the last time. I'm going to tell you, that power ran out 10 years ago. If it was last week, I'm telling you today, it ran out. Because you need it today. You need it every day. I must die to myself daily, pick up my cross daily, follow Christ daily, be empowered by the Holy Spirit daily. It's a daily thing. The Spirit of the Lord, Jesus said in Luke 4:18, is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, recovery of sight to the blind, and set free those who are oppressed. Jesus sets free Satan and slaves. Acts 1:1 tells us all that Jesus both began to do and teach. The point of that is it isn't finished yet. His purpose isn't finished yet. So it's time for godly men to put their hand to their God-given task in order to accomplish God's purpose and His will for a lost and enslaved world. Are you ready to do that? We have to leave this conference ready to do that. It's time for those same godly men to be full of the Holy Spirit, anointed by the Holy Spirit, and empowered by the Spirit, and then give Him room to operate. He knows best. So we need to give the Holy Spirit room on Sunday mornings. We need to give Him room in our personal lives. I must give Him room in my family. You must give Him room in your prayer services. And we must give Him room this morning. It can't just be a scripted thing. It can't be a schedule. It can't be, well, we're doing this out of routine and habit. Scripted, scheduled, routine, and habit is not real living. It's dead living. Living empowered daily by His Spirit, that's real living. That's adventurous. That leads to an adventure beyond our imagination and beyond our wildest dreams. Setting captives free. That's real living. Praying for somebody who has cancer. And then going back to the doctor, and the doctor said, I don't know what happened, but you're free. You're cancer free. That's real living. But that's done by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's time for us, because being Spirit-filled believers, it's time for us to give the cure instead of just comfort. When I'm sick and all that, you know, being comforted is one thing. Being cured is totally different. And I want to be cured, don't you? I tell you what, your boys want to be cured. The world wants to be cured. They don't need to be comforted. They need to be cured. They need to be healed. They need to be set free. So, real living. What is real living? Acts 1:8, wait in your Jerusalem until you are filled and empowered. Then Matthew 28, take all that God has given you, your strengths, your talents, your personality, your spiritual giftings, move out into your Jerusalem, move out into your Judea, into your Samaria, into the ends of the world, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be empowered under the anointing of the Spirit. Preach, heal, proclaim liberty, set free, proclaim the Lord's soon return. That's what we are to do. As a great missionary to China, Charles Studd said, some people love to dwell near the church with its choir and steeple bell, but I want to run a rescue station a yard from the gates of hell. That's pretty hot. You see, he knew his greatest purpose was to continue Jesus' mission, what he both began to do and teach. So let's run a rescue station right where we are planted. There's no better way to live. Let's stand this morning, and we're going to sing one more song. Hallelujah. Philippians 3:12. May all of us press on. Forget those things which are behind. That's important, you know. Forget those things which are behind. Reach forward to those things which are ahead. The goal for the prize of the upward call. And let us be of the same mind. Let us be of the same mind. Are you ready to give the Holy Spirit room? There's some of us today maybe bound up in a bondage of some sort. You need to be set free. It simply comes by laying ourselves down. Lay yourself down before the Lord. We're going to sing that song, I Lay Me Down. And whatever need you have today, give it to the Lord. There's not room up here for everybody, so right where you're standing, if you have a need, give it to the Lord. If you have not been empowered by the Holy Spirit, just lift your hands to the Lord, just begin to worship Him and ask Him and expect Him to answer. Let's just join in this song together. I lay me down. I lay me down. Hallelujah. Lay yourself down. Love you. Whatever is between you and the Lord, lay it down. We can't fulfill His purpose, so we lay it down. Thank you, Lord.
that I'd like to do in this holy moment, and it is that holy moment. I just feel very impressed that we need to pray at the conclusion of this devotional time for the future of Roll Rangers. We've celebrated the past as well we should, and we have gathered strength from looking back. But I believe now in faith and prayer, we need to look forward. Amen? So I'm going to ask Pastor Petrucci if I can invite you forward. And I'm just going to ask that we all together as a body agree. Come on up here, Pastor Petrucci. Would you just do that? Let's just agree as a body. We're the organizational leaders. God has entrusted into our hands the well-being of this ministry. That's a huge responsibility and incredible privilege. Amen? And let's just go before Him as a body. And I would just ask that we not let a single voice be left behind. Would you fight back anything that would make you slide away from this prayer? And would you just call out, I believe it is incumbent upon us as we approach this final hours of our time together that we call out to God on behalf of the future of Roll Rangers. There are lives that rest in the balance, amen? The lives of many rest in the hands of a few. And if our future is to become a reality and everything we dream of, it will be because we have prayed it into existence, amen? So, Pastor Petrucci, would you lead us?
Praise God. Let's just begin to seek Him for a few moments. Would you just turn your heart towards Him? Father God, we love You and we praise You. And Lord, we thank You that You are our Father, that there's a relationship of a father to a son, Lord, each one of us. And Lord, I just thank You, Master, that that's about mentoring, that, Lord, You want us to, Jesus, You said to imitate You, to imitate the Father, Lord, to strive for holiness in our lives. Lord, that we might be a divine image, Lord, even in these jars of clay, that we would be a divine image of what You are like as we minister to these boys, as we stand before them, Father. And Lord, we know that we have to begin, Lord, even where we read in Your word how Isaiah, his lips were touched with a burning coal. Lord, that he was purified, that his lips were purified, that his heart was touched. Lord, that he was prepared for the calling that You had for his life. And I thank You, Lord, we stand before here today because You have called us to this ministry. Lord, truly, we haven't chosen it of our own volition. We've received it and we've accepted it. But it has been given to us by You, by Your grace. Lord, even the Apostle Paul understood that his calling was by the grace of God. It was by the will of God. It wasn't appointed by men. And Lord, You have selected us. Lord, help us to cherish the position that we have. Whatever it is in our outpost, Lord, whatever it is in our section or our district or even regionally, Lord, that we would accept that position from You. And Lord, we don't ask for the good old days once again. Lord, we have a rich history, but we don't ask for the good old days. We're praying now for the good new days. Oh, God, that You'd pour out Your Spirit in this ministry. Lord, I just thank You for this ministry being one of the most evangelistic tools that we have for our churches. And Lord, I pray that our pastors would see that, that church leaders would see that. Lord, that they would value Royal Rangers as we value it. And Lord, I pray, God, that not only would there be a movement from the grassroots up to the leadership in our churches, but Lord, I pray, God, that there be continued support at every level. Holy Spirit, we need You. We need You, Father. Oh, God, help us to turn our eyes on You. Lord, to look at You. Lord, as that old chorus, God, folks, as that old chorus says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face and all the things of this world. They'll grow dim in His glory and His grace. We need to get our eyes off the things of this world and onto Him. Father, guide us and lead us. And Lord God, I pray that You continue to bless our national leadership as well. God, I just thank You, Lord, for what You have done. Lord, all these years of transition have been so difficult. And now here we are, Lord, with so much finished product and materials. And God, great things. And you've been in charge. God, we just thank You, Lord, for this most wonderful ministry tool called NRMC. God, I just thank You for how perfect that is, that is Your love for us. God, I pray Your blessing upon our national commander and all of his staff. God, continue to empower them, guide them, lead them. Lord, help us to be support people. Help us to be supportive in prayer and in finance. Lord, in word and in deed. God, we just thank you for this conference. We thank you for Lead 2012. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
That's right. Would you just raise that applause to the Lord as an act of gratitude and expectation? Say, Lord, we receive everything that you have for the future of this ministry. Amen. Hallelujah. We worship you, God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Harry, for a tremendous message this morning. God has a task. And the beautiful thing about Royal Rangers is we get to help young men find that life purpose. Amen? And that's what these morning devotions have been about, is acting like a man. It's adventure. God shapes men on adventure. Then he takes them into battle so he can shape their character. And then he gives them a life task and a life purpose. Amen? You may be seated. Well, we got some good news. We have given ourselves a good birthday gift. And in the next session, we will be drawing the names for this bronze that's down here on the stage and this painting, courtesy of BGMC. So you'll want to definitely participate in this birthday gift if you have not yet. Would you like to know the total so far? Are you ready? We have just over $46,000 in cash and pledges. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's right. So here's what I would like to ask. Number one, if you haven't yet participated and you'd like to do that, please do so. We still got $54,000 to go, if my math is right. So we got a ways to go, and we can do it. We've even received a couple of pledges that came in even last night. And so it's not too late. So number one, if you haven't participated, would you step out to the Ranger store here and pick up one of those pledge forms, fill it out, and get it into the Royal Rangers office back over here. Secondly, take some of those back to your district. You probably know some outposts and some churches that would be eager to participate in this. And so help us get this out. We've got $54,000 to go, and we're gonna have this funds raised well before Camp-A-Rama with your help. Amen? So can you raise your right hand with me? Say, with God's help, we'll knock it out before Camp-A-Rama. All of it. Amen. I like it. Thank you so much for your generosity. We're excited. I believe that God is going to help us raise more money for missions, be involved in more Pathfinder projects, seeing more happening around the world than ever before. But it's going to take, just like Pastor Petrucci's prayer, you know, it's taking the eyes off ourselves and getting them on what God wants to do through us. And I think he's got some incredible plans for us. And as we do that, take our eyes off ourselves, get them on him, everyone will take notice. You know, have you ever noticed when someone's like this? Where you look. You may look at me for a little bit, but then you're like, what's he looking at? Let's do that. Let's look at Jesus. Amen? I love you guys. And I love Jim Allen. He's done a tremendous job. Let's hear it up again for Jim. Thank you. How much have you slept these days? Or maybe the right question is, how little have you slept these days?
That's right.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you, Doug. Well, kind of a sad part. This is the last set of announcements I've got. I know you're torn up. So, but you know, I am energized. I'm fired up. I could go another day and a half, Doug. Let's do it. Well, maybe not. But anyway, it has been a great, great time. I tell you, it's just I've enjoyed just fellowshipping with you guys, and it's just an honor to look out and see 400 fellow mentors. It's great, a great sight. I wish you guys could see it. I've been up here for 3 days. I haven't really been nervous until like now. And I looked out in the crowd, I looked out and I saw Juanita Barnes is in the house. So I'm a little nervous. So anyway, so if you forgive me a little bit, thank you so much for being here. I met her, I believe it was on Wednesday, and what an honor. And especially, it's just been a great, great, great conference. When you come back at 9:25, you'll have a survey that'll be on your chair. please, or on your table, please make sure you fill that out. It's front and back. And then once you fill that out, when we break, close to noon, if you could just walk out and place it on the table there, there'll be a couple of Ranger staff members there, and you'll get a patch, your lead patch for this year. So we do value your feedback. I know we do. We spend a lot of time looking these overs and slicing and dicing them in lots of different ways. Please fill that out. That'll be on your table when you get back. When we also break, we need some help. If you have a little bit, if you're from the North Texas district or are close by, you're staying till tomorrow, if you could help us package things down. I know we need help in the Ranger store. We need help getting the AV equipment. We would sure appreciate it. It'd be a big blessing for us. It's a lot of stuff to haul in and out, but the good news is we have less stuff to haul out, so you got less work to do. Amen to that. And my last announcement, I gotta devote this to a good buddy of mine from Penn, Florida, Wayne Elliott. Wayne, in the house today? Maybe. There he is. Okay, this one's for you, man. The last announcement. And the last announcement is, I have no other announcements. Go have a good break. We'll see you back here at 9:25.